Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Scandamu to the end zone. Touchdown. The right guard, Ben Roten, pulled, led the way. Scandamu to the end zone. Interesting formation. Dart. Is he going to take off again? He might have to, but no. He finds an open man and hits him. Robinson stays in bounds. Robinson's going to go all the way for a touchdown.
Banks it forward for Malkin. Outlet pass. Springs Brazo. He's got a step. Backhander scores! Justin Brazo! And Fuego! Penguins go up 3-2.
Wow. Wow is what I have to say to all of that as we get you into a Donnie Football Friday. Donnie Chedrick sitting across from me, city limits to my left. Steelers with a gigantic, and I mean a gigantic, I think, AFC North game. Donnie, I surely hope that you and Pony, I don't know if it was you, but I hope we don't reprise the famous free pass Browns game of a year ago. Were you in on that, or was that Pony delivering the free pass?
No, I was in on that a little bit, but I'm not feeling that way now because they have a real opportunity here, Joe, to take a stranglehold on this whole thing.
Man, do they ever. And most of the show will be dealing with the Steelers and the Browns and the AFC North and all of that. Limits, how are you? You okay over there?
I'm doing well, Joe.
Good.
You haven't commented on my outfit today.
I haven't seen your outfit yet today, Limits. Okay. I went through 18 different construction sites on the way here, including one right outside the building.
There is, yes.
Yeah, going down that hill.
You have to go in the other way, Joe.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Let's see. What do you got? Stand up. Account for yourself. Oh, my God, Donnie. Did you see that already?
I got all dressed up today, Joe.
Wow.
Very nice today.
That,
suit jacket,
my friend.
Dress pants.
Do you feel
belt.
Different? Do you feel different?
No, because I wear this to church on Sundays.
Wow.
So I feel comfortable wearing this. Nice dress shoes as well.
Donnie, that is a different man in there.
You roll to church with that every Sunday.
Yeah, I do. I usher at my church, Donnie. The church right
really?
Up the hill. Right up the hill.
Do you sing at church, Limits?
I'm not like in the choir or anything.
That's what I thought, that you might sing in front of the whole congregation.
No, I'm an usher.
You look like you should be either the pastor or the singer. Doesn't he, Donnie?
Crowley said that I look
more. Hold his arm out a little bit. He gets the crowd going, like Jeff Jimerson.
Crowley said that I look like Ace Ventura today now more than ever.
That is a great, great call
so?
By him. Did you drive here with a cracked windshield where you're sticking your head out the window like Ace Ventura?
The window was down, yes, yeah. With my hair flowing in the wind. Where's Ben Tenuta to get a video of this?
He'll be here. No worries about that. So we're going to, of course, get into all things Steelers. But, man. It was an interesting sports night and a crazy sports night, Donnie. First, I went and watched my daughter play volleyball. Then I come home to a freaking bonanza. I've got Jackson Dart. I've got Dodgers Phillies going down to the wire, extra innings. I've got Penguins in their home opener. I even have Gavin McKenna, for God's sakes, on one of like 8 screens that was all fired up. And I feel like it's only appropriate that before we launch into all things Steelers, we get to the Penguins and two of my favorite words on earth, Jackson and Dart. Let's start with the Penguins, though, Donnie. The home opener, you had the nostalgia trip on one hand, which is always great, and very appropriate and fun. Those three guys, the core players, 20 years together, which is ridiculous. Then you had the youngsters mixed in. Harrison Brunick, he's pretty riveting to watch with a great goal. But the story of the night, by a million miles to me, after a good win and during a good win, is Mario on hand. And not just on hand, but in the locker room after the game, which, as Josh Yoey said, hasn't happened in years. He'll come in for his fantasy camp, maybe something like that. He was there. He was quite prominent. He was shown on the screen, and he was in the locker room after the game. Is that just part of the pomp and circumstance of the season opener and the 20 years together for the other guys? I don't know, man. I think there might be something more to this story. What do you think?
And from my understanding, they showed him on the Jumbotron unprompted. It wasn't like they stopped the action and they made the announcement that Mario was in the building. From what I had heard, I mean, I had a couple of friends that went to the game. It was just during one of those on-ice breaks, and they showed Mario in his box, and the place just went crazy. And I actually joked, are they going to chant buy the team for the first time at somebody instead
great.
Of sell the team? Because it did feel like there was something a little bit different going on. And maybe it's just him sensing that this will be the final home opener for the big three.
Could be, yeah.
And he wanted to make sure he was there. Like, it could absolutely just be that. But, I mean, it's certainly going to get people like us fueling some fires of, hey, is there more to this story that Mario goes to the game, he goes in the locker room after, he did something. I mean, you brought up what Josh Yoey said, who's been around the Penguins forever.
Right.
And he said he hasn't done this in years.
So why? And a couple of thoughts. It could just be what you're saying. Part of honoring, who knows, this could be Gino and Letang's for sure last home opener. I don't know. But has he made peace with Fenway Sportsbook? Fenway Sports Group? Or is he going to really be a significant part of a new ownership group and he's getting on board like, hey, yeah, I am going to be a prominent part of this again. And I want to let everybody know, almost ushering in something that he knows is going to happen here. I don't know, but it was very unusual and it changes the vibe completely when that man is around.
Yeah, I mean, because he's been one of the best owners that this city has ever had, I would say. I mean, and he to his own sport and that organization is more important than, dare I say, pretty much any athlete that's ever come through this city.
Maybe any city. I mean, he literally saved the team when he was drafted. He brought the team to championships, and then he saved the team from relocation mm-hmm. again for a second time. Has there ever been somebody more important to his city, any athlete ever, who ever lived?
I mean, I can't really think of one. I just don't know if we're leaving anybody out here, but certainly in the scheme of Pittsburgh sports, he's the most important athlete to his organization by far of anybody who's ever played here.
And I just wonder what all that was about. Are we going to see him again for game two, for the Sully Bowl on Saturday night? I don't know, but so far, the Penguins, a far more interesting story than I thought. Limits, what was your viewing strategy last night? We had 17 different riveting sporting events on.
Yeah, I had the Thursday night game on in the background. I was primarily watching Dodgers, Phillies, and the Cubs and Brewers.
Yeah.
And I was also, you know, just
little Gavin McKenna. I'm surprised you didn't say him.
Well, that's the thing. I had the updates going on my phone as I saw the lead deteriorating for them against, like Clarkson. I guess Kelly Clarkson decided to make a hockey team here, Donnie, and beat Penn State. What a week it's been.
Brutal week for the Nittany Lions.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. We didn't get into the Brazo story, Donnie. I heard you had a little snafu with the name the other day.
Oh, no. It wasn't a snafu. It was very much intentional.
Oh.
Very intentional.
Tell this show briefly about it, because I only got a brief summary from Pony, and I really didn't know what he was talking about.
I'm calling the guy Justin Brazzers the entire season. And now I'm not sure if you're familiar with what that is.
No.
You know, I know that, yeah. That Austin probably is.
Yeah.
I actually wasn't until it was brought to my attention.
Listen, I know that you're a very good churchgoer, Austin, but I find it hard to believe that a young man in their 20s isn't familiar with what Brazzers is.
Believe what you want to believe, Don.
It's a certain website, Don.
Yes. Yeah.
So that was
I think Ron referenced a website like that one time. He said
he got
pop-ups.
I think Ron starred on that website, actually.
He said he was there at the creation of it.
I was there.
Yeah, it's one of those sites that Ron said he got pop-ups from one time, I think.
Yeah, I bet he did. So that was intentional and not a mistake by you the other day to refer to him as that and direct people there.
Correct, yeah. And I think one of like the local clothing companies is going to make a shirt.
That is incredible.
With like their logo, but his name.
So he's become a story. All right, I felt that was appropriate at the start. And I feel like this is appropriate. Little Jackson Dart. I don't want to say I was right, Donnie, because I don't know yet. We've seen phenoms. My God, Duck Hodges was a phenom for a couple weeks. And it's not like Jackson Dart is conducting the greatest show on turf there. You know, I think Drake May, for example, is better than him. I didn't see Dart in any of his starts yet do what May did to the Steelers and to other teams, which is line up in an empty backfield in the shotgun and just wing it and carve people up. But he has a Jim McMahon-like quality about him. He's perfect for New York, and my God, would he be perfect for Pittsburgh. Can you imagine if the Steelers had drafted Dart and Scataboo and that thing was going... The whole thing would be a Steeler fan dream. Scataboo is Jerome Bettis and Dan Kreider mixed into one, it looks like right now. He would have streets named after him already. Dart would have a statue already. Instead, they passed on a franchise quarterback, maybe, and they took Caleb Johnson when they could have had Scataboo, and this man to my left, Donnie, called it on draft day.
Yeah, I will give Joe credit for Jackson Dart right now. Right now, at the moment, I'm wrong. I still am not on board with him. But Scataboo, ever since I watched him in that playoff game against Texas for Arizona State, run over people, and he was sick in the game, he was banged up, and he just was a beast. And I said, the Steelers have to draft Cam Scataboo, and there was Caleb Johnson. And
you don't think Scataboo would already have a sandwich named after him at Primanti's, the Scataboo? And that dartboards would be rising all over sports bars around here? It would be crazy.
Well, here is my question, more so to the running back thing, since the Steelers actually did draft one,
yeah,
in Caleb Johnson. Would Cam Scataboo get more of an opportunity than Caleb Johnson has gotten so far? I know that Scataboo has had the opposite sort of start. I mean, Caleb Johnson had the big snafu against the Seahawks that will be remembered for years, but would he break into the backfield the way he has in New York with Jalen Warren and now Kenneth Gainwell in the fold?
That's a good question.
Would he break through to the way he's done with the Giants?
Maybe not. Maybe not. But I think he would have more of a breakthrough than something is off and was wrong with Caleb Johnson from the start. You almost, at least I was, is that guy hurt or what's going on here? He doesn't look like he's upgraded their explosiveness. He looks slower than Najee. And then the kickoff snafu, and he's gotten a few opportunities. So I have to believe Scataboo would have gotten more. And he looks like a short yardage monster. Who needs a tush push when you have that guy?
Yeah, I mean, he's great for what the Giants want to do going forward. And I already think that going into next season, they're going to be like a hot NFC East champion pick if Dart continues to play relatively well. I mean, we also have the short memory in sports where everybody on a national scale got to see Jackson Dart last night. You and I were texting last Sunday when he was, you know, peeing down his leg against the New Orleans Saints of all teams.
Right. Although he was still really good in the first half that night, and he moved them down to the Saints 14.
He
was good that night. He turned the ball over like May did against the Steelers. And again, I'm not convinced on him, but this is a Steelers story. Watching the Giants is absolutely a Steelers story. They had a chance to take Jackson Dart. Did they make a gigantic mistake? No pun intended, although I guess it is pun intended. Did they make a giant mistake, Donnie? Do you think they should have taken him now that you've seen a little bit of Dart?
I'm still actually okay with what they did, believe it or not. I mean, I think that they got a good player in Derek Harmon.
But a franchise quarterback is a and they still don't have their guy for the future. Are you convinced they're going to be able to fix that problem?
I'm not convinced of that, but I mean, we're also still early on in the Jackson Dart career too.
Yes.
Which, I mean, you have acknowledged, even though you loved the guy going in, you still do. You're acknowledging that it's still early to crown the player.
Yeah. I like May. I like Jaden Daniels and probably even Bo Nix better than him. He looks to me like he can be a good NFL player. Again, he looks like a Jim McMahon type where he fits the personality of a town. And if you match him with a great defense, he'll be perfect. He doesn't look to me like a guy that can stand back there and throw for 350 on a given day and just carve people. Maybe he will be that. He doesn't strike me as that. But, man, is he a fun watch. Two quarterbacks in the history of the game. In the history of the game, have rushed for 50-plus yards in their first three NFL starts. Do you guys know the other two?
Wrong. Lamar Jackson and Michael Vick.
Wrong. Donnie?
Is that the answer?
No.
What was the stat again?
First three starts of a career for a quarterback rushing for at least 50 yards. Limits got one right in Lamar Jackson.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's the other one?
So it's not Vic. Is it Cam Newton?
Wrong. Actually, I forgot now. I think it was Jalen Hurts. Great. Can you look up that stat on Google? It's Jalen Hurts, I think, and Lamar. He's a fun watch, Donnie. And if that dude were doing this here, that's all you and I. Can you imagine if they had a Thursday night game against the Browns or whatever last night that went and he performed like that? This town would be aflame today,
yeah,
right?
Jalen Hurts.
Oh, for sure. I mean, if both of those guys were, if they did what they did last night, but they were in a Steelers uniform.
Yeah, or just take Dart. Just take Dart. I mean, people would be beside themselves with joy over the future, with hope. Really.
I also think more than even their play, like the energy that those guys seem to bring to that team. I mean,
did you see the post game pose in end zone where Scadaboo had his shirt off?
Yeah, he ripped his shirt off on the post game. I think I saw
he did a flip when he scored.
I saw one tweet when it was Dart and Scadaboo like talking to each other, and they're like, these guys communicate like they're both pit bulls.
Yeah.
Like just in each other's faces, like fired up. I also found it kind of funny, and we bring another former Steeler into the mix here, when Russell Wilson had to go into that game for
two
plays.
Oh, my God, that poor guy.
And the amount of people on the Giants sideline that went to that blue tent as quickly as possible and multiple, like you're not allowed to do that if you're like not training personnel because, you know, they said like Cam Scadaboo tried to roll in there and
the head coach did. How often do you see the coach go to the blue tent and peek
almost
inside?
Never.
Right.
I didn't even know if they were allowed to do that.
Daboll lost all interest in the game. when that kid went out. And then poor Mr. Unlimited comes in and he throws a horrific pass and everybody boos him and then he leaves the game.
My question there, why won't they just make Jameis the second quarterback?
I agree with you. I think I like Russell Wilson. I know he rubs a lot of people the wrong way because he's all, I don't know, because of the cliches that he spews, I guess.
Let's ride my ass.
Robot Russ.
Right. I like him, though, and I don't think he deserves this. I agree with you. Spare him. Please, somebody spare him this ignominious, is that the right word, ending.
I mean, I think he's going to get traded somewhere, right? I feel like somebody's going to be desperate enough. I thought Cincy was going to call about him.
So did I.
I thought that would
just
be
throw moon balls to their two receivers.
Yeah, either him or Jameis, and I thought that would be their call. They end up going with Flacco.
But I think, I mean, this is a legitimate topic. If I could form it as a topic, and off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. It's a Donnie Football Friday with Greensburg's very own Donnie Football, brought to you by Smail Kia, Route 30 in Greensburg. The Steelers, for as fun as this early season has been, and it has been fun, it really has. They're a fun team that seems to be playing with a certain looseness about them, I think, that generates from the quarterback on down. They don't have their future set in any way, shape, or form at the most important position on the field, and they're going to continue to chase that probably in next year's draft. They had Jackson Dart on the board. Again, no pun intended, but it does work, Donnie, there. They had Jackson, what?
I was going to say something else that would be more damning to them is if he does really work out and you know, we're a few years down the road and Jackson Dart becomes a legitimately good quarterback, because – did they not claim that they had a first-round grade on him?
I don't remember. Limits, is that right?
I think there were some conflicting reports about that.
On Dart?
I thought that they were pretty high on Jackson Dart when it was all said and done, and not Shedeur Sanders, since that was the big talk going in.
That is starting to ring a bell. Limits, can you look that up, please? In the meantime, though, Donnie, simply phrased, to Steeler fans, do you wish when you watched last night and maybe a little bit other of Jackson Dart's performances this season, do you wish they had taken him? Ben was in that corner. Jack Ham was in that corner. Dan Orlovsky, if you like him, was in that corner. And it felt like it didn't get enough play to me, even on draft night, like almost like he was regarded as a joke in some ways, in some circles around here. Well, nobody's laughing now. And as I said, I'm not convinced yet from watching him, but he is entertaining. He's ballsy. You saw him throwing his body all over the place. He's just a fun watch. Do you wish the Steelers had taken him at 412-928-9370? But moving away from theoretical conversations, Donnie, we got a ball game on our hands here. And this is a... I almost look at this as a package deal with the teams from Ohio. I think there's some interesting maneuvering that needs to happen with Mike Tomlin as far as snap counts and injured players. And I know he poo-pooed the idea the other day of looking ahead to Cincy. He doesn't want to put that on Cleveland's bulletin board in any way. But this is a package deal. You have two wounded AFC North teams in your midst with a chance to put a stranglehold on that division. These are games you absolutely should win. The schedule's going to get tougher down the road. They're huge games. And anything less than 2-0 is unacceptable. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, both of these games are going to be pesky. They're going to be more difficult than what people want to believe. They always are. I mean, I know that we will talk more about the Thursday night game after that game happens next Friday, but Tomlin has that terrible record on the road against AFC North teams on Thursday nights.
Yeah.
I believe it's 0-6. And this game on Sunday, I do think the Browns do a couple of things pretty well that also travel well. No matter what stadium you're in, they can play defense to a truly elite level. I think yards per play or yards per rush attempt, they're tops in the league, maybe in both. They have one of the most feared individual defensive players in football on their side. Now, the Steelers do too, but Myles Garrett is somebody with a very similar resume. And they can run the football a little bit. It seems like they found a running back in Quinshon Judkins, who I know had some off-the-field stuff happen before the season. He was very late to actually signing his contract, but he is one of the top rushers in the league since he started in week two. So he can provide that element to the game. Now, they're getting a rookie quarterback this week. It's the first true road start for Dylan Gabriel, and we know that Mike Tomlin does have a very good record against rookie quarterbacks, especially that early on. But this has the makings to me of like an ugly win.
Okay. Like I thought we were headed toward maybe a Donnie prediction of a loss.
No. I'm not gonna go there. The Steelers should win this game. They should start 5-1. They should go 2-0 in their next two. But I just don't think it'll be as pretty as what we maybe hope. Yeah. I don't think it'll be some 35-3 win or anything.
They were predicting
like
all kinds of blowouts on the morning show.
Harry Callis and Doran,
and I don't remember who else.
I actually liked Harry's a little bit because he said the Browns will jump out to a 10 or 13-0 lead.
Yeah.
And then the Steelers will score 30 unanswered.
Well, I think the trends, and sometimes when we think something is going to happen for sure in the NFL, it doesn't. I like Tomlin being 18-0 at home against Cleveland. I like him being 26-6 against rookie quarterbacks. I wonder what his record at home against rookie quarterbacks is. That would be an interesting stat. And also, coming off bye weeks, Donnie, what is he, 14-4?
Yes.
Come on. I mean, those trends are pretty powerful. And also, Cleveland just had to play overseas. I mean, the Steelers had a bye week. That's ancient history for them. Their body clocks, I would imagine, are well back in tune. Is that the case for Cleveland? I don't know. That's tough to come right back from a game overseas and play on the road against a divisional opponent who, by the way, in their last performance was utterly violent on defense and destructive. I think there's a lot of trends happening here that point to a Steeler victory, but I do agree that it's going to be uncomfortable. I think it'll be uncomfortable maybe to the fourth quarter, and then I think the Steelers win. I'm going to go with 22-12. A 22-12 win, a bunch of Boz field goals, but it could be like 16-12 or 15-12 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So my initial thought was like a 20-13 or 20-12. So we're right around that same gap, Joe, where we could be going into the fourth quarter on Sunday and it's like a field goal game.
Yeah.
And maybe the Steelers score and they create some separation, something like that. But it will be a game that is at arm's length, but also within a score pretty much the entire time.
Limitless wonder, what say you?
Yeah, I think this is going to end up being a touchdown game. Close for a good bit of it. I'm in agreement with you guys on that. I think the Browns running game is going to be able to help control some tempo, control the clock, keep time of possession in Cleveland's favor. But the Steelers, with Rodgers, what he's done in these last couple of games, will make the big plays when it matters most. Might not be like an 80-yard bomb again to Metcalf, but they'll do enough to be able to clinch the win.
And it could actually blow wide open in the fourth because at that point, you know, if you have a two-score lead of some kind, you're up 10 with 4 minutes left, then Dylan Gabriel is in a very, very difficult position. Then you could be looking at a pick six or a turnover and then a touchdown or something like that. So, yes, I predict an uncomfortable game for the Steelers that sort of busts open a little bit late.
Yeah, I think it has the perfect makings of a game like that. Now, I wouldn't say Dylan Gabriel was good by any means last week.
Better than I thought.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going with it. I was like, okay, is this going to be a disaster for him? Like, first start, you make him start a game overseas. He's playing a pretty good defense with a very good defensive coordinator. I thought he had drives in that game where he looked pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
Like where he had things, you know, in control. They moved down the field. And let's also not forget, outside of what, the final 30 seconds, the Browns were going to win that game.
They should have won the game. They should have won the game. And they beat Green Bay. That's all I need to know that this has the makings of a difficult sort of struggle for the Steelers.
They are a team that will end up being like, what, 4-13 or something when the season is over.
Right.
But they battle every team that they play. And it's not like they get embarrassed week after week after week.
412-928-9370. How do you think this game will go? And do you think the Steelers, did you watch the game last night? Do you wish they had taken Jackson Dart, let alone the package of Dart and Scadaboo, who was on the board until the fourth round? He was. And they took Caleb Johnson. 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter brought to you. And it's not like they've had a good running game. Like, Jalen Warren's averaging 3 yards a carry. Yet I bring up the topic this week to a variety of people. Hey, Gainwell had a really good game for a team that couldn't run the ball. He ran for 99 yards. Do you think he merits more action in the run game specifically? Oh, no, Kabali's telling me. No, it's like I'm crazy. What are you talking about? Jalen Warren's going to be the guy. Is he? Because he's averaging 3 yards a carry.
Yeah, see, if you wanted to get into that topic, I think, and I love Jalen Warren as a player, but Kenneth Gainwell should absolutely be on the field just as much.
Yes,
I don't care if it's like a 50-50 split or something close to that. It's not like Kenneth Gainwell was taking the place of a future Hall of Famer. You know, he didn't step in for Marshall Faulk or LaDainian Tomlinson last week. He stepped in for Jalen Warren, who, yes, I love watching play football. I think he's a pretty good player, but it's not like this guy is getting fitted for a gold jacket. He's just a pretty good
player. It's almost Jalen Warren to me profile, and I like him too, by the way. I think he had one of their best two plays of the season with that 65-yard, little quick pass from Aaron Rodgers. It was a phenomenal play. I think he's best suited to be a third down back. I think he's kind of a first down maker type. You know, he's good at blitz pickup, things like that. I don't know that he's my unquestioned running back, especially when my running game sucks through three games and a different guy comes in and puts up 99 yards.
It's all about the jumbo, Joe.
I know you want to talk
about
that. Get
that jumbo.
Let's talk about that jumbo package next, Donnie. Let's get the jambalaya. Let's talk about that next. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Limits, did you find where the Steelers, did anybody say they had a first-round grade on Jackson Dart like they did Rudolph?
Jerry Dulac did report that the Steelers had a first-round grade, yes.
There you go, Donnie. There you go.
Now,
what?
I won't do it.
Don't do it.
I won't say it.
Don't say it. 412-928-9370. The Steelers, according to Dulac, had a first-round grade on Jackson Dart. So why didn't they draft Jackson Dart in the first round? Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service over 50 years. Plus, your sort of vision for this really big Steelers-Browns game. And the Steelers can win this division by Halloween, for God's sakes, for all intents and purposes. Because I think do we have an update on Lamar? Is he playing?
He didn't practice the last 2 days.
What are they saying about that, Donnie, about Lamar this weekend?
I don't think he's playing. I mean,
they're going to
like
lose.
All indications are that he's not, because the Rams are like an 8-point favorite.
They're going to be 1-5. So win this game. Here's what I wanted to say before we move ahead. The time is done for these crap home losses we've seen. In Pickett's, I think it was Pickett's first game, they let Zach Wilson march down the field for long touchdown drives twice in the fourth quarter. That should never have happened. That was unforgivable. And then a year later or so, it was Bailey Zappi, who we might even see Sunday, winning a game here and looking like Steve Young for a half against Mike Tomlin's defense. We got to be done with that crap. No more Bailey Zappis or Zach Wilsons walking in here and winning games on your home field against the highest paid defense in football. It's embarrassing stuff. Don't do it again. Don't let this kid walk in here, Dylan Gabriel, and have a good game. That kid should be broken in half by the end of the first half. I mean that metaphorically, Donnie. Although we might see Bailey Zappi, right?
That it seems to be that he's going to be their backup.
Can you imagine if he comes into the game and lights them up?
I mean, the last time they saw him, he looked like Tom Brady.
He did.
It was that Thursday night Patriots game.
Enough with that if you are to be taken seriously.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Donnie, it's a Donnie Football Friday. The fan hotline brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. You can listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. And on the docket here, the Jackson Dart performance last night. Does that have you regretting the Steelers passing on him? Jerry Dulac said they had a first-round grade on Dart. They apparently liked him. He was there. He's not here. And Cam Scataboo. Steelers were in the market for a running back. They took Caleb Johnson in the second round. That isn't looking great so far. Yes, it's early, I know. But still, it's not like their running game's been great, and there's been no spot for him, and Scataboo is becoming a folk hero already in New York. So those two things, plus how you see this game playing out. I think Donnie and I are sort of the same mind. It's going to be uncomfortable for the Steelers, but they'll find a way in the fourth quarter. I think all three of us are of the same mind. How about you at 928-9370? Limits, let's go to the lines, my friend. Who do you got?
All right, sir. Let's start with Gavin in Sarver to chime in.
Gavin in Sarver, you're talking to Donnie Football.
Hey, how you guys doing? Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
All right, so I'm not exactly high on Jackson Dart yet, but I would have just loved to see Cam Scataboo run against the Ravens, the Browns, the Bengals, because it's that type of football that he plays. And that energy to bring into a locker room, like he even talked about in the interview last night, I would have just loved to see the Steelers be like partake in that, since I think it's still missing in some parts of our game.
How quickly would you buy his jersey if the Steelers would have drafted him?
Donnie, that's all you'd see right now, all over Western Pennsylvania.
I think people would have been naming their next born child after him in Pittsburgh.
Like I said, this guy has Bettis and Kreider rolled up in the same body here. He would already have a statue. Him and the Chief. Cam Scataboo and the Chief would be the two Steeler statues right now.
I think the guy's jerseys would have sold out everywhere. Everywhere.
Who's next, Limits?
All right, let's move along to Jamie in East Liberty.
How we doing, gentlemen?
Good. What's up, Jamie?
Hey, my question is more on the coaching end of things, and I just want to hear your thoughts on this, please. It must have been the group text. Everybody was on board with the, hey, did we make a mistake? Did we not take Dart? My question is this. If they would come to Pittsburgh, Brian Daboll, the reason he went to the Blue 10 is his job is depending on Jackson Dart, and there's no training wheels on that quarterback, and they're allowed to go out there and play. I'm just afraid if any quarterback, and we've even discussed this, a pre-Josh Allen before he was who he was, or a pre-Lamar Jackson before he was who he was, If they would have come to Pittsburgh, my question sincerely to you guys is, would our coaching staff, and I look at, you know, our offensive coordinators through the years, would they just keep training wheels on these guys, and would they be quarterbacks that just come here to have their jobs ruined? And I look at, like, Mac Jones, granted a sample size, but what he filled in a system. And I look at Sam Darnold. I just don't see, like, Jackson Dart or any of these future quarterbacks, as long as we have our coaching staff. The fact that Derek Harmon is even starting is just simply out of necessity. But we never give these guys a chance. And when we do, they have handcuffs on. I just want to hear what your thoughts are in regards to that.
Joe, I think that's actually a hell of a question there from Jamie. I mean, when it's specifically about the quarterbacks, I think it's very fair. Because
yeah.
I even had somebody tweet me during the first segment when we discussed it, asking, how much different would Jackson Dart's offense look than, let's say, Kenny Pickett or Justin Fields, where we knew Mike Tomlin had them shackled head to toe to just make sure, take care of the football. Take care of the football above all else. I don't care if we score 3 points in this game. Just take care of the football. And it's hard for me to disagree with that and disagree with Jamie's question of, like, if Jackson Dart was here, would it look the same? Probably not.
No, we had the topic, I think, on Adani Football Friday. I know you guys did on the PM show a while back. If Patrick Mahomes had come to the Steelers, how many Super Bowls would he have? And my answer was none. He'd have none because they wouldn't have had the infrastructure here and the kind of offense to bring out what Andy Reid has brought out with him in Kansas City. A lot of this, wherever you go, is where you land. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's who's your coach? Who's your coordinator? You know? And I think that's through all of sports history. Like, I look at some of these failed Cleveland Browns quarterbacks over the years. A lot of that was where they landed too. And then I look at guys who walk into a great situation. Now, the situation Ben walked into was fantastic. He had Ken Whisenhunt as his offensive coordinator. That's a beautiful thing. I forget who the quarterback coach was at the beginning of his career, but he had some really good guys. Like, that was a system where a young kid could flourish. What's happened here in recent years is not.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen so many examples of players that have come through, and even if they're five, or I mean, even in Russell Wilson's case, they had the shackles on that guy. It feels like Aaron Rodgers is the first guy since Ben that they haven't really held down to, hey, you have to play this way, you have to play this style. I think it's also because I think Aaron Rodgers, one of the things that was most attractive about him to Mike Tomlin specifically was that he has the lowest turnover rate in NFL history by a QB. He
no
probably
doubt.
Saw that and said, I don't care about the MVPs. I don't care about the Super Bowl that he beat my ass in. I see that turnover ratio. Bring that guy here.
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Sunny today with a high of Ricard Raquel. I like that one, limits, and he scored last night. That's 67. And a low of Myron Bell at 40. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Ray Fittipaldo coming up next. Let's take another call or two.
All right, let's go to Johnny and Farrell to chime in.
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, fellas. Hey, this Browns game, man, this is like the Browns have one foot on a banana peel and the other one out the door. So to me, this is their Super Bowl. So they're starting to sell off people. They can go either way. They win this game, then they might be a threat. So if we can withstand their first push, I think, like, who was it, Callisette or someone? If we could withstand it, and then, yeah, we're going to end up just pulling away like a 79 Trans Am on a Mustang.
I think Callis said they would go out like 10 to nothing or 13 to nothing, and then Pittsburgh would score 30 unanswered.
Yeah, it's going to be like a drive. We get an interception and go back. But, yeah, we can bury Cleveland after this, and then Cincy's the next one.
And in doing so, Baltimore next. One more.
All right, let's go to Seth in Long Island to chime in.
Hey, Seth, what's up, man?
Hey, Jolly, Donnie, hey, Austin, hope you guys are doing well today, Friday. Joe, man, I got to give you your flowers, man. You were on Jackson Dart last year big time, the whole time.
Well, let me clarify. Let me clarify one thing. When he was playing last season, I was not. My sort of Jackson Dart party began in the off season when I really started to look at who the Steelers might take. And then I talked to people like Jack Ham, and he doesn't say much about things like that. And he was really high on this kid, and so was Ben and others. So that's when that began. But go ahead.
No, you definitely deserve the flowers, man. And I got to tell you, since I live here in New York, I get to see every play. And, again, the jury's out. It's early, but between him and Scadaboo, they would have brought an energy and a vibe to the veterans, and that's contagious, man. It's like football, right? I mean, like baseball. Hitting's contagious. So at the end of the day, I think it would have been fantastic to see those guys in black and yellow. They would have breathed new energy, new life. And, I just think it would have been a great situation all the way around. Because if you've got the most expensive defense in the NFL, there's going to be highs and lows with a rookie. Hopefully the highs will be very high and the lows will be, not that low. I think he would have been a great fit here in Pittsburgh, both of them.
I also think that they likely would have had him sit for a while longer than what, he did in New York. I mean, Russ was just so bad that I think they really would have tried to hold that down for as long as possible. I know that Kenny Pickett entered in the fourth game of the season because Trubisky was just so bad. And then there was that alleged fight between Trubisky and Deontay Johnson in the locker room of that game. But I feel like if they pulled in Jackson Dart, I just don't see them starting the guy from day one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.